This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
If you want to reach me online at Ryan Recker or Ryan Recker Radio. Joining us now, White House correspondent for the Washington Times, Chef Murdoch. Thank you for coming on again.
Thank you for having me, Ryan. Always enjoy it.
I'm hoping you had more fan letters since the last time we spoke. People sending you nice notes instead of mean ones.
I've gotten a few. Yeah, I've gotten a few. Not as many as I had hoped, but I've got a few. So it's up to me. I get tons every day. So
yeah, you know, there's so many different. I know the mail bag. It's like the old movies where they would walk in with a literal bag full of mail. They don't really do that anymore. But there's so many different topics we can take here. I don't know if there's any place you want to start. What really interests me, at least a little bit, is some of the bizarre Epstein question answers that we've seen so far. I mean, that's a lot of people are still talking about that. So the president was asked by reporters about the Jeffrey Epstein client list that the news came out basically saying there is no list. A lot of people saying, what's going on with that? Not satisfied with the president's answer on this one. What have you seen so far when it comes to the reaction to that?
It's really interesting because what you find is, well, first of all, his answer was shockingly tone deaf. For somebody who won two elections by tapping in to how the voters are feeling and listening to the voters, his answer was somewhat surprising. Yesterday at the cabinet meeting in the White House, a reporter asked Pam Bondi a question to square away why Alex Acosta said that he had to give Jeffrey Epstein a sweetheart plea deal because he was tied to intelligence. And then we haven't seen anything of the stuff that's been released tying him to intelligence. And the reporters simply wanted Pam Bondi to square that away. It was not a particularly hard question. It was not a particularly aggressive question. But the president clearly blew up at that question and erupted to say, you know, why are we still talking about this guy? I can't believe all these years later, we're still talking about this guy. Give it a rest. We have all these great things going on. We have tragedies in Texas. There's all these things we should be talking about. Why are we still talking about this guy? And it was a surprisingly tone-deaf answer. It was a surprisingly defensive answer for a situation in which Pam Bondi, everybody knew Pam Bondi was going to say, no, he's not intelligence, whether he is or isn't, I'm not making a comment. But everybody knew that was going to be Pam Bondi's answer, which it was. And it seemed a little odd that he got as defensive as he did. But this administration's posture on the whole Epstein thing has been odd. You know, Pam Bondi was asked a very direct question about the Epstein client list, and she says, oh, that's on my desk. Then 2 months later, the White House has now changed the story to, oh, no, she was not talking about the Epstein client list. She was talking about the Epstein file in general. But if you go back and you listen to that question, she's asked directly about the Epstein client list. And it's one of the things I find really interesting, too, is you have guys like Dan Bongino and Kash Patel who are now in charge of the FBI. Had they not been in charge of the were they not in charge of the FBI at this time, they would be screaming the loudest online about this and how, I mean, they were some of the biggest Epstein. Let's get to the bottom of this. Let's push this people out there on the internet. And I find it really interesting how quickly that they have sort of diverted from all the things that they had been saying before they got their jobs at the FBI, which goes back to a long way of saying that it's interesting that you have both people who dislike Trump as well as MAGA supporters scratching their heads, wondering what's going on with all of this.
I know. It's all of a sudden you're on the other side of the conspiracy where it was a conspiracy. They were holding back this information. Now you're part of it. And it was something that I think surprised a lot of different people because given everything that we've learned about it, it just didn't make sense. Like, what do you mean there's nothing? This does, none of this is playing out the way we thought. And it reminds me of all those different payoffs that people receive in court. Like, let's say there's testimony that was going to happen against P. Diddy, and then all of a sudden the person says, oh, I'm not going to do it. And you learn that there was a big payment transferred right before the testimony was supposed to happen. Maybe that's not like a specific example. I probably shouldn't have used a specific one. But you find those things in certain cases where the star witness disappears and all of a sudden they're super rich. It had that type of feel to me. And again, you put you on the conspiratorial side, but you're like, you were with me on that side at one point. Now it's you're not with me. I don't get it.
Yeah, 100%. All these people who were yelling the loudest are now the people saying, oh, there's nothing to see here. Nothing's going on. Ignore the explanations. Like even the explanation, now I don't know this for a fact, but they're saying that, oh, well, there's a minute missing from the video because there's a minute missing from every video that the, excuse my throat there, that the, that the Bureau of Prisons takes because they're switching out at midnight and they're just going from one tape to another tape. I've never heard that before. I've looked into that. I mean, some people say that is bunk. Some people have said, no, that is true. But that's the first time that that's ever come out by anybody. And it's just weird. And one of the things, just to go back to how the president's response to that question was tone deaf, there's never, you know, he keeps saying, oh, why can't we still talking about it? But there's never a time to stop talking about sex trafficking and child sex abuse. We should, the only way to prevent that is to keep talking about it and find out what really went wrong here.
Yeah. All right. I know there's other things going on. Oh, boy, look at me. Here I am, Donald Trump being the answer. There's other things going on, too.
all right. And if you can hear, there's thunder right above me. So if you hear a loud crack, that's what it is. But I'm under an awning, so I'm safe.
Oh, I got you. It sounded like birds tweeting in a moment ago. So it's actually the storm rolling in. I see how that goes. All right.
Yeah, and I think the birds are tweeting because they're flying away from the storm south.
They're getting out of here, but there you are, hunkering down.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk about trade and tariff letters that we're seeing come into existence. So we've been through this rodeo before, maybe about 3 months ago. There's a lot of doom and gloom 3 months ago where they said this is going to put us into the next Great Depression. Didn't happen. In fact, the stock market was continued to rise since the initial drop. And now he's going through a second round of tariffs. Stock market didn't crash like it did before. So I think people kind of get the idea that these are kind of short-term pain for long-term gain. That's kind of the way that the White House has been messaging this. So where do you think we stand on the second round of tariffs and some of the different negotiations that are going on with countries?
Well, a couple of things. I think what we're seeing is you're right. It did not crash the economy. And I think one of the reasons we didn't see it with the second round, which was a bit of a shock to the economy. And one of the reasons we have not seen that is because the stock market thrives on predictability. And the stock market wants predictability. And I think they're viewing these new tariffs as, well, we've seen the story before, where they think it's not going to last. He's going to change his mind again, or he's going to reach a trade deal, or he's going to do something. But the fact that we have not seen the eruption with this new round of tariff letters from the stock market shows that Wall Street is confident that there's not going to be major changes from these. But one of the things I thought was really interesting that I do want to point out to that issue is the most important trade partner he issued a letter to today was Brazil. He issued a letter to 8 countries. There's the lightning, so I'm just going to step over here. that was definitely thunder and lightning. So one of the things he sent it to 8 countries today. Of the 7 of them, only the Philippines was a top 50 trading partner, and they're somewhere in the high 30s. Brazil is a top 15 trading partner with the U.S. It's the only one in the top 20 that even got a letter today, and he waited until after the stock markets closed to release that letter. He released all the other letters today at noon, and he waited, and I thought that was kind of interesting. Especially because that has the highest tariff. That is a tariff of 50%. Mm-hmm. So it seemed like the president was at least aware that there may be a risk that the Brazil may have set the stock market a little, made Wall Street a little nervous. But for the most part, what we saw today did it. Now, whether or not we see deals, I mean, we were promised 90 deals in 90 days. We're at roughly two-ish, kind of like a 1.5. The president keeps saying that they're working on it. They've got these deals coming. We keep hearing, oh, they're very close. They're very close. But it doesn't seem like anything ever connects outside of the 2, 1.5 we've reached so far.
Yeah. So going back to, because he had a comment when he was talking to Peter Doocy from Fox regarding tariffs. And he mentioned we've made so much money off of China so far from the tariffs. How much can we even calculate? Do we even know what has came in from it? Is it calculable in a sense where it has been beneficial as opposed to a deterrent for the U.S. economy?
We haven't, because we really don't know. The administration has not, they've released numbers, but they haven't really quantified what we've come in. You have the president saying, oh, we've gotten billions and billions, but they've never spelled it out. They have yet to break it down for us, just how much that they've brought in so far. And then you raised the good question, what are we getting in terms of deterrent? You know, we've gotten some promises, China promising to crack down on fentanyl, Canada promising to crack down on immigration. What is the economic value of those promises? That's something else that we would need to calculate. I'm not really sure how we would go about calculating something like that, because it exceeds a monetary value.
Yep. Jeff Murdock, White House correspondent for The Washington Times. I don't know if you have another radio station hit you have to do here. Do you got a couple more minutes?
I got a couple more minutes.
All right. I wanted to bring up one thing you mentioned that was kind of drew my interest. President Trump waited until after the stock market closed before he released the letter to Brazil. So it's kind of interesting with this, because I think we discussed this maybe last time we were on, but the idea that the Donald Trump and the way that he handles the stock market is one of the top priorities for him when it comes to economic successes for the United States. He wants to see us grow. He wants us to be a wealthy nation. He wants people to succeed that way. Wants to grow jobs. So you need those things to happen to have a strong economy. And when the tariff talk started, it was like, okay, the economy is kind of going in the back burner because it's starting to, tank. And we're seeing day after day after day it going lower. So trying to get these trade deals seemed to be taking precedent over the economy. Now it's recovered. It's actually gone past expectations. Mm-hmm. We're not seeing it this time around. So maybe the economy was always in the forefront, but it didn't seem like it at the time. There was one other time I can recall where the president did something after the stock market closed. And I don't know if this is just kind of par for the course for Donald Trump, but it was when he got COVID. They didn't make the announcement until after the stock market closed on Friday.
That's right. Yeah.
He went to get treatment, and then he returned to the White House, did the big appearance before the stock market opened again on Monday morning. So is it similar to that? Is he trying to find ways to manipulate it so the stock market doesn't take that big of a hit because he cares that much about the economy?
Yes, I think you got it exactly right. That's the perception of Americans' perception of how the economy's doing. And we saw the panic after the Liberation Day tariffs when the stock markets all plummeted, and that's led to him issuing the 90-day pause because there was so much concern over how the stock market was doing. And then since then, the stock market has exceeded. Not only has it recouped its losses, it's gone ahead of where it was before the Liberation Day tariffs. So, yes, it shows just how much in mind the stock market is when he is making these decisions.
Right. All right. If people wanted to send you a nice letter to talk about how great you are, where can they find you to write you that nice fan letter?
They can find me at WashingtonTimes.com. You just click on my articles. My email address is at the bottom. You can also always hit me up on Twitter at Jeff Mordock, M-O-R-D-O-C-K.
Jeff Mordock with the Washington Times. Thanks for spending some time here in St. Louis.
Thanks for having me, Ryan. Always enjoy it.
And I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Reardon. Don't go anywhere. I want to play a couple of clips, and I know we still have the cut of the day that we're going to do later in the show, but Brad Young's going to join us in about 15 minutes or so, chief legal analyst for the radio station. And when we come back, there was a couple of other things going on in New York City I wanted to talk about, and socialism is not cool, according to Mayor Eric Adams. We'll see what he has to say about that. It's contrary to popular belief, I guess, at least what the impression is of New York City. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
71 FM Talk. Welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker filling in. So I really don't know what to think about this state representative out of New York, Zohran Mamdani. And here's what I found. He is a very good speaker. If he sits down on MSNBC, they're not going to push him too hard. But if they push him even just a little bit, it seems like he already has the answer to what they're going to ask him is almost like they told him ahead of time what they're going to bring up. I know that, at least in the Democratic Party, they have a pretty big track record of that happening, giving the questions to candidates ahead of time, like they did to Hillary Clinton. So what exactly is going to happen in a city of like New York City if Mamdani is elected? What would happen? He leads right now the general election poll for New York City's mayor. And when we look at some of the ideas, the socialist ideas, it scares a lot of people. The taxing of the people that live there. He's going to raise taxes almost immediately. He's going to pump it in there. And what they say is, oh, it's just for the rich people. Isn't that something? They always say that, but it always has these different implications. What happens when all the rich people leave because they realize, maybe I should have went to Florida like all my friends where they don't have the state income tax. Maybe I should be moving to some of these more friendly states further south where I don't have to deal with socialists running this city. So let's look at some of the ideas that he had. Like, this is clip number 11 with Mamdani. And this is from 2021.
Why do so many people end up homeless? It's not because there aren't enough homes to go around. There are plenty of empty homes. No, it's because housing people is not the primary goal of developers or landlords. Their goal, simply put, is to make a profit. If we want to end the housing crisis, the solution has to be moving toward the full decommodification of housing. In other words, moving away from the status quo, in which most people access housing by purchasing it on the market, and toward a future where we guarantee high-quality housing to all as a human right.
No, okay, so housing is a human right. It always goes back, and that's a very socialist idea. Number one, you shouldn't have to live your life like you are a nonprofit, meaning that the sum of everything that you do for your work has to be a complete wash. You only have to do things to sustain yourself, as in, don't worry, the government will take care of you later in life. You don't need to save for retirement. You don't need to take extra and better your life in certain ways. Don't worry, the government will do that for you. And the government's going to be fantastic at the way they take care of you, because trust us, we know how to run your life better than you do. But saying that housing is a right is also a very dangerous thought, to say that you don't actually own what you own. You know, if it's a right, then that means other people have ownership of it if they are occupying it, meaning that you can't allow other people into a property that you may own, because then they can take ownership because it is their right, is also a dangerous thought. He stumbles onto what a lot of young people are getting into right now, upset that they can't enter the housing market. Here's what we find, and this might be a rude awakening for some people when it comes to housing. You may not be able to afford the housing that you want. You may not be able to get a place that's big enough to meet your dreams. You may not be able to live in the specific area that you want to live in because you can't afford it. Here's the big problem. When you're young like that, you don't care. You want to live in a certain spot and you'll pay overage for it. And so many people are overpaying for these spots that has created a demand where the supply is lower. So there's a solution to that. You can move out of the city. Maybe that's what New Yorkers should be doing and realizing that, get away from all of it. There's affordable housing in other places. You don't have the right, because I know that you think housing is a right, but a human right, but you don't have the right to say, I demand to live where this person lives, even though they have ownership of it. No, you don't. So what would happen if, like, let's say they moved to an area where it was a little bit smaller, rural area, they can actually afford maybe what they're looking for? You think they'd be happier there in the long run? I think so. I think absolutely. But they don't want to do that. They say that, don't worry, the government will take care of me and they're going to force me to live where I want to live. But I'll tell you, they've tried those things, the projects, and the living conditions are terrible. They end up closing them all down whenever that happens. Eric Adams was asked about this. He was talking about socialism. This is clip number 10, if we can play that.
I've been to Cuba. I've been to Venezuela. I've been to countries where socialism exists. I saw the empty shelves in the ration books in Cuba and what it means. So we're romanticizing the terminology, and it always sounds good, you know, that, you know, I'm a socialist. But when you dig into what it means, you understand. When you get stuff for free, someone is paying for it.
I can tell you this. Have you ever met a person that came from a socialist country that said, I actually loved it? It was wonderful. You know, they never abused their power. They never hurt anyone. No, everything was great. I was always fed. I had a roof over my head. You know, public transportation, it was great. I would go back to that socialist country anytime. And they say these things while they're in the United States. It's a big lie that they tell you. And Eric Adams is right. We'll see how the people of New York figure that out. All right. Brad Young, our chief legal analyst, joining us after the break on 97.1 FM Talk. Joining us now from Harris Dowell Fisher and Young. He's a partner there. He's 97.1's chief legal analyst. Brad Young, how are you, sir?
Big Ryan Wrecker. Great to talk to you, my friend. The guy with the greatest painting in his basement of a dog wearing this like late 1800s British looking suit. Oh, it's amazing. Every guy needs to have your painting in their basement.
I know. And I got so lucky finding that at a Salvation Army or Goodwill. I can't remember which one. Whoever gave that up, they don't realize what they had. They just don't realize. All right. So I asked this question kind of tongue in cheek, but I also ask it honestly about Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. Does she know the Constitution or does she just choose to ignore it?
You know, that's a legitimate question. Now, you know, in my analysis, I typically do not get into personalities or poking fun at the justices, even if I disagree with them on the right or the left. But in this case, if you look at some of her, she hasn't written very much, but particularly in the dissent that she wrote in the birthright citizenship case, which really wasn't about birthright citizenship. It was all about whether a single judge in a single federal district can issue a nationwide injunction. And I read her dissent and it was nonsensical. I mean, I write legal briefs every day, Ryan, and you have to cite, here's the law. There's a rule. It's called IRAC. It's called Issue, Rule, Application, Conclusion, IRAC. That's what they teach you in legal research and writing. So you lay out the issue, you lay out the rule, you apply it to the facts, and you reach a conclusion. That's your classic legal writing 101. And when I've read her dissent, Ryan, there was nothing except policy arguments and reasons why she didn't like it. And even in Amy Coney Barrett's response to Justice Jackson's dissent, I'm reading directly from the opinion. She says, quote, because analyzing the governing statute involves boring legalese, Jackson seeks to answer a far more basic question of enormous practical significance. And then she goes on to give an opinion. So I'm not sure Jackson knows the Constitution. Maybe, you know, when she was asked during her confirmation hearings, what does it mean to be a woman? And she said, I don't know, I'm not a biologist. Maybe somebody needs to check to see if she actually went to law school.
Is it true that she asked ChatGPT to write her opinion for her?
I think, listen, I've got a case right now, Ryan, where it's an unrepresented plaintiff suing my client. And this unrepresented plaintiff keeps drafting things on ChatGPT. And and she even admitted it. I'm going to tell you, for a fact, ChatGPT would write a better opinion than Justice Jackson.
So she's not using it on purpose to make it an opinion. You know,
I think she's hiring kindergartners to write this opinion.
I think that like Ruth Bader Ginsburg might be a perfect example of when you are trying to be an activist more than you are a Supreme Court justice. Is that what we're seeing right now with Ketanji Brown Jackson, more of an activist than a judge?
Yes, but it's even worse than Ruth Buzzy Ginsburg because I'm sorry, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I always like to call her Ruth Buzzy Ginsburg going back to a laugh in. But if you read, and I've read a lot of the opinions from Ginsburg, they're well-reasoned. I may disagree with them, but they're founded in the law. They're well-reasoned. They're laid out. But Justice Jackson's was not. Also, there's another difference here. In that if you saw on the Supreme Court, the two polar extremes when Ginsburg was on the court, her and Antonin Scalia, the best justice in the history of the Supreme Court, those two were as far apart as the East is from the West. Okay. And yet they went on vacations together. There's a famous picture where they went to India and they were both riding an elephant together. Their families went out and traveled together. They were fantastic friends, even though they were ideological opposites. And you don't have that. Amy Coney Barrett and Justice Jackson, it's a catfight up there right now. And they don't get along either ideologically or apparently cordially away from writing opinions. I get the idea they just don't like each other.
How come we never rode an elephant together?
I don't know, but I wish I would have gone with you to the Salvation Army and beat you to the punch on that painting you bought, because whatever it is you paid, I would have doubled it.
You think you would have? What did I pay? My wife said you are not going to buy that. It was too expensive for her. I think it was like $20, and she said that's way too much money to spend at a Salvation Army. And I said,
I would have spent $40. I know any day I would have spent $40 on that.
Well, I had to sell it on her. And I said, honey, if I pass this up, I'm going to regret it every day of my life. She said, oh, fine, get it. Okay. So there's another thing going on in St. Louis City, an ordinance allowing the police to charge parents of kids who possess guns or use fireworks over the weekend. So what do you think of that? Because here in Michigan, you know, we saw that landmark case where you had the high school shooter in Oxford, Michigan, and he went through and shot and killed students inside of Oxford High School while his parents.
Right, Jennifer and James Crumbly. Yeah, Jennifer Crumbly and James case. Crumbly.
Both found guilty. Now charged independently, but both found guilty for their role of supplying the gun, allowing access to it inside the home as they're part of their parental duty. So I see some similarities in their parents having responsibility and actually having some legal responsibility for the things that their kids do. So what are your thoughts on St. Louis City there?
Well, let's apply it. I was just on Channel 4, KMOV, Channel 4 News about an hour ago talking about this very subject. And the issue is this. There's no state law in Missouri that allows for this. There's only a city statute in the city of St. Louis, and it's a very, very vague. And the statute essentially states, and I'm kind of paraphrasing and kind of reading from the statute, Ryan, but it basically states that parents can be charged under this statute if they allow their children, and this is the part I'm quoting, to engage in any conduct which would be injurious to such child's morals or health, unquote. And there's a doctrine here, and the parents have already been charged. Many of these parents have already been charged in the city. And I understand the policy. The policy argument is, listen, crime's out of control in the city. If we catch these kids because they're juveniles, they're just going to be right back on the street an hour and a half later, and nothing's going to happen. So we got to do something to try to clean up the streets of St. Louis. But here's the legal problem. There's a constitutional doctrine called void for vagueness. And what that means is if there's a statute that's vague, then it violates the due process clause of the 14th Amendment because it doesn't place people on fair notice of what the statute requires, and it allows for arbitrary enforcement. If you don't know what the statute says, then cops could enforce it however they wanted, and that would be an abuse of power. And when you look at this, I don't know what the phrase injurious to such child's morals or health. I don't know what that means. And I'm not sure that the parents would know. And I think if the parents got legal counsel and challenged this, I think there's a better than 50-50 shot that they could get these challenges thrown out because the statute itself is so vague.
So what would the method be? Like, let's say they actually wanted to do this. Would they have to go and create their own ordinance? Would they have to write this into like the state constitution? Like what level would this have to be?
Yeah. And I'm not opposed to this conceptually, as long as it's done legally. But I think the city of St. Louis or any of the other state municipalities or even the state of Missouri itself could say the following. It is unlawful for parents to allow their kids to have fireworks and or to have firearms. You know, you'd make it sound more legalese than what I'm telling you. But it would also state that a failure to prevent or to monitor the children in such a way that they are allowed to obtain firearms or fireworks, it creates a Class C or a Class D, a B or a Class A misdemeanor. You could write it in a very specific way that would pass muster from the void for vagueness doctrine. And you could actually try to make parents do their God-given responsibility, which is keep track of your children.
Mm-hmm. Well, they don't even require parents to pay child support. So, I mean, there's like a lot of things they let parents off the hook for, it seems like.
Absolutely. But I'm not against the principle here of doing it. What I'm against is the application of a statute that is very, very vague and can be basically used to arrest and prosecute parents for anything. I mean, you know, if the kid cuts the neighbor's flowers, could they be charged under this? Well, I don't know. Using scissors might be considered injurious conduct. You know, I mean, it's so vague that there's no way to apply it to any specific situation.
All right. Chief legal analyst for the station 97.1. And it sounds like soon KMOV. It sounds like you're making some headway there too, Brad Young. but let's look at the Supreme Court as a whole. Are there any big cases that they're going to be looking at in the future that you're monitoring, something that'll be big?
Yeah, great question. I think at this point, the biggest case that we've heard of for the next term is cases involving transgender kids participating in sports. West Virginia and a couple of other states have passed laws that say that children, meaning high school, college, middle school, can only participate in sports that align with their birth gender. So if you're born male, you can only participate in male sports. If you're born female, you can only participate in female sports. And this is going to be up in front of the Supreme Court. In West Virginia, that law was stricken down as being a violation of the 14th Amendment Equal Protection Clause, stating that everyone has equal protection under the law. But as the Supreme Court just ruled in the Tennessee case about transgender care just a month ago, the same principles apply. And I'll make it very quick here. And that is this. The transgender laws are not gender specific. They don't specify, they don't separate males from females or females from males. They simply say, whatever your gender is when you're born, that's the gender that you have to apply whenever you're participating in sports. So it's not gender specific. So because of that, there is what's called a lower level of scrutiny at the Supreme Court level from a constitutional perspective, which means the state has an easier chance to win. And I do believe that the states will win on that issue. And boys have to be in boys sports and girls have to be in girls sports.
I guess the other question, if it wasn't for Donald Trump being in office, do you think the Supreme Court would be taking up a case like this?
No, most likely not. Because if you look at the justices that Donald Trump put on the court, both in his first term and now in his second term, well, he hasn't put on any a second term, but he did put make some very key appointments in his first term. But for those, I don't think that you would be getting these rational, fact-based opinions that we've been getting now for quite some time.
All right. Are there any Supreme Court justices that maybe retiring anytime soon that we know of?
Well, that's also an interesting question because particularly Clarence Thomas is getting up there in age. And the question becomes, will he be Ginsburged? Okay. Ginsburged being a verb here. Ginsburged means that you stay on too long and you die in office. Whenever the person who's the president disagrees with you politically. And so it lets your opponents replace your vote on the Supreme Court. That's called being Ginsburged, which is different than being Borked. Being Borked, there was Justice Bork, he was going to be nominated to the Supreme Court in the 80s, and he was taken out because they found some things to discredit him, and the media frenzy made him withdraw his nomination. So he was Borked, but this is being Ginsburged. The question becomes, if you're Thomas, do you resign before Donald Trump gets out of office? Do you resign now before the election in 2028 because it could, or 2026 The Senate could change hands and could change. And then you may not be able to get another conservative appointed for a lifetime term. So those are all considerations that are plaguing Justice Thomas right now.
Oh, that's interesting. All right, Brad Young, do you have any other shows coming up sometime soon? Do we know of?
Well, I wish I could be filling in for Reardon tomorrow, but I can't because my real job gets in the way. But I will be filling in for Reardon a little bit later in the month of July. I'll be doing some more of that. I will tell you that I will not ever fill in for Mark Cox, even though he keeps asking me to, because there's no way I'm getting up at 5 a.m. That's just not happening.
You work too hard for that.
I can't even talk till my fourth cup of coffee, and then I don't stop talking. So there's no way I can do that at 5 a.m. Not going to happen.
Okay, no Annie Fry shows or anything coming up. But
I just did Annie Fry show last week and love doing that, but nothing coming up here in the near future.
All these shows are so good on this radio station. They're all so fun. Every single
fantastic
one of them.
And they're even better when we get Ryan Recker filling in.
I can't believe they let me do this still. Brad Young, chief legal analyst for the station, partner at Hairstyle Fisher and Young. Thank you so much for joining us here. It's always good to hear your voice.
Great talking to you, Ryan.
All right, we got the cut of the day coming up after the break. Don't go anywhere. I'm Ryan Recker filling in for Mark Reardon on 97.1.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer. Plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
On FM Talk. You know, one thing I forgot to mention, I've been getting emails from listeners here when I fill in on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. Well, you hear the show here on the station, but it's a syndicated show. It's on like 650 radio stations across the country. And I get to do the last month of every... last weekend of every month, rather. So I got a couple more shows coming up on the Friday night of the 25th and the Saturday night of the 26th for this month. And I got to say, anyone that's emailed me through the Coast to Coast email, it makes my day when I hear, hey, I love hearing you in St. Louis. Or when I'm filling in anywhere hearing that, it just makes me feel great. So I wanted to make sure I mention that because I know we only got a couple minutes. All right, before we wrap up the show, let's get to the cut of the day.
Playback ready. Now, the audio cut of the day.
I think one of the big storylines is that President Biden's doctor is saying nothing. He's pleading the fifth, refuses to answer questions during this House Republican probe. James Comer from Kentucky had some questions for him and was not too happy that he's not answering any of them. This is clip six.
I can tell you exactly what happened. Dr. O'Connor pleaded the Fifth Amendment. This is unprecedented. And I think that this adds more fuel to the fire, that there was a cover up.
Was there a cover up of his health? I think the answer is clearly yes. I don't think that if you were a betting man, you would vote against that. I mean, if you were putting the mortgage on it, I think the answer would be yes, there was a cover up. Now, the question is, who helped cover it up? Was it the aides around him? What is it? Is it was his wife? You know, was it, I don't know, Barack Obama knew about it and was pulling some of the strings behind the scenes, stepping in because he thought it was his patriotic duty? Who was writing some of these signatures on the paper when it wasn't the auto pen, or if it was the auto pen, under whose authority. A lot of this could be cleared up if you could talk to Joe Biden, but apparently his current state is not stable enough to answer these questions for himself, which goes to show you he was the president of the United States just 7 months ago. All right. If you want to find me online at Ryan Recker, Ryan Recker Radio on Facebook, another way to do it. I hope you guys have a great night. We'll see you soon on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.